NZ On Air Music presents Long Player.
Ko te hea, tōku maunga, ko awahau, tōku awa, ko te arawa, tōku iwi, ko Ngāti Rangiwiwihi, tōku hapu, ko hashi rawa, ko bridge, tōku ingoa, no Pukita Papa ahau. So the first track is called Endless Waste, and Endless Waste, the reason why I wanted to put this at the start is because I wanted to kind of like enter into the album or the release as like a, you're stepping in off the loudness and the crushing sort of like overexposure of current sort of like city life and that kind of thing, and like the pressures and the like all of that stuff that comes with it. And I saw this like shop that's on like Queen Street sort of, and as you're going up on the left, and it's called Endless Vape. And I was like, wow, Endless Vape, that's such a crazy concept. And then I was like, vapes are so wasteful, you know, like there's all this plastic, all these batteries, all this shit. And I was like, wow, endless waste. It's like endless waste. And then I was like, wow, that is a concept. It's like, so where we're at so many people just like, you know, just burn and burn and burn forever, you know, like, And so like, I wanted to sort of take that, and I use like these, I don't really use samples too much, but at the time my partner was playing this game called colonist.io.
Okay.
Which, do you know that?
No.
That, it's like a version of this game called Settlers of Catan. It's like a board game.
Right. Oh, okay.
And so there's like a kind of grey market free version of it on the internet called colonist.io.
Okay, yeah.
And so they were playing this all the time, and I was just hearing it in the background all the time, and I was just thinking about like this idea of colonist.io, like the in and out, and like there being an out. And so I wanted to take the samples, because they've taken from the game, and the game is taking from colonization, which is taking from us, you know? So it's like this taking it back in a way.
For sure, this big circle.
Totally. And I just wanted to use that to kind of like have a bit of that in there, and then see it fall. And the drums in that track, to me, represent the like the ongoing rhythm, the ongoing beat you know, the beat goes on and like the culture continues, we're still out here, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first one is called Ngākotete Iti, which translates to, it's kind of like a few sort of like reflections that come off of this. It's sort of like kōtete is sort of like tipu, like little sprouts and growths and like little sort of things growing. And then it's also like murmurings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like little murmurings. I really like how there's this sort of like physicality and new things, but also new ideas and new conversations and like new whisperings, you know, that aren't necessarily being yelled yet, but they're, you know,
performing.
And just there and there, you know?
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like this track is one that I made right after my nephew was born.
Wow.
And so I got a phone call from my sister and she was like, I've just given birth. And it was like during COVID and so we couldn't be there for the birth and stuff. And so I was just like thinking about her so much and thinking about my nephew and thinking about Whakapapa and all this, and got the phone call. And as soon as she hung up, I just made this track basically. And so it has like that Whakapapa sort of side to it, that I don't know. I wanted to welcome my nephew, and so I wanted it to be welcoming and like also have this sort of like aspiring kind of nature to it, so that he could feel as though he could stretch for anything he wanted, but then also have this like element of like not being quantized and not being fixed to the beat, and like have this almost like toddler sort of step to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
no, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so like with that, I wanted there to be like freedom to make moves and not, you know, learn from mistakes, and like, you know, it doesn't have to fit into this box.
Yeah.
There's kind of like a core setup that I have, which is my rototoms, which were found by my now cousin, Tom Chuk. He found these drums in like a skip bin.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Like,
yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And actually messaged the BFM Facebook group and was like, hey, I don't know what any of this stuff is in here, but you guys should go and check it out if you want some music there. I found some in a skip. And so I went there and got the rototoms, which are sort of like a rotating drum, which you can tune. And they're kind of like used a lot in the 80s, a lot in like Latin music, in particular. And then they kind of like became like cheesy or whatever, and so people didn't want to hear them anymore. And when I found them, I was like, wow, I can like manipulate these live and like kind of like play them in a kind of melodic-ish sort of way. And my focus has always been around helping the drums talk, like in my practice and stuff. And so not relying on melodic elements as the core of like where I'm going. And so that kind of like created this like perfect.
To Be Real.
Yeah.
Featuring Erdika Ferox.
Yeah, shouts out Erdika.
Yeah. Sick, yeah.
Erdika Ferox, a.k.a. Rachel Phyllis Gabor Duval, is my whananga, my homie, someone that I look up to in such a big way. I really appreciate her approaches to art in general. I love her as a DJ, love her as a homie. She's also from Te Arawa. And so we're both like these like urban people who have grown up in Tāmaki predominantly away from like our rohe, from our current rohe. And it's been really special getting to work with her, like, because I'd wanted to work with her for like ages, like such a long time.
Yeah.
And I'd seen her singing on her Instagram story once. I was like, bro, I knew you could sing, but like, wow, like pipes. Yeah. I was like, dog, we need to do something.
Yeah,
and then
it
wasn't for like another year or so that it actually happened. And then when it did happen, it was beautiful. Like, I've got like a little studio in my garage at home, and Rachel and her partner Anna came over, and we just hung out in the garage for the afternoon, and she did every line as one take.
Wow.
I didn't have to take anything out.
Yeah.
Everything's just her hitting it right on.
Perfectly, and
it's just like it felt so right and easy to work with her.
Yeah.
And she's just such a talented singer, and like her like idea of like how to harmonize with herself and space the track out and all this kind of thing is just like so perfect.
Yeah.
So Healing the Scars of Progress is like, I don't know if you've ever played like Pokemon and like...
I'm a little bit familiar.
And so like you go to like the Pokemon Center and you give them your Pokemon that are sick, that have like gone through all these battles and stuff. And there's this like wonderful like Nurse Joy who like takes it and, you know, heals everybody up real fast and on you go, you know, on your journey or whatever. And I feel like we don't get many of these opportunities to stop and reset and have a place to rest and heal and that kind of thing. And so I wanted to create a song where you could hopefully get a bit of that in like a small amount of time, you know, in like a 2 minute something or whatever kind of beat. And so for me, it was yeah, it was all about that. To Papa
Tuanuku.
Tuanuku. Yeah. Yeah. So this is my, because I'm a drummer first and foremost, like rhythm is everything. And like I had this experience once when I was in Japan and was at this town, and this festival happened, all these people playing these like crazy drums, like these massive taiko drums and stuff, which have been like very influential in the creation of Gorge, like the toms of Gorge and that kind of thing. And it was the first time I got to really hear them en masse. And there was like this cap that I saw at this shop as I was like walking past on the festival, and it just said, "Everything living has a rhythm."
Whoa.
And I was just like, yo.
Sick, yeah.
So on, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah, it was just really stuck with me. And I think about that a lot in relation to Papa, because, like, she births us, and she's also the atua for, like, rhythm instruments.
Yeah.
And, you know, the atua of kohatu, and I, like, play kohatu, like, stones a lot. as a way of like tapping in with myself and like where I'm at and also with the environment around me and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to do a song dedicated to Papa. And I also wanted to kind of play with this idea of like strength and like gender fluidity.
Mm.
And so, because I'm Yarere, so like gender fluid.
Mm.
And so I wanted to kind of like express that in the name, because it's like this come to daddy sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
With the come to papa, but then it's to Anuka, it's like actually the strength is coming from your mother.
Yeah.
Like,
that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah, yeah, and I just wanted to dedicate something to her. And it's pretty much at one, it's at like 160, because like juke and footwork has been like a very important part of my like rhythmic upbringing, as a maker and a listener and that kind of thing. It's been very eye-opening for me. To me, I see it like it's jazz, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so I wanted to do a 160, so
yeah,
yeah, to kind of like throw down dedication to all the the footworkers.
For
as
sure.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's a way of interacting with Papa as well.
Thank you.
we've got your next song, Charged with Ecocide.
Mm-hmm. This one, I was really angry and really depressed and really frustrated with the way that our government has been treating our whenua, our moana, our people, how people are being treated all over the world in similar ways. I went through a dark kind of like headspace because of it. And I knew that I needed to confront it and find a way to, you know, transmute it or rotate it around, and not fall into like depression too much and use the energy to get me to go do something rather than let it like crush me.
Yeah.
And so the it's a play on like charged with ecocide as in like we need to charge these people with ecocide in a legal sense. Like there are people that are destroying the planet. You know, now people even talk about things like omnicide, you know, where you have like destruction of all living things. It's not just like the ecology around us, which of course we are a part of. You know, that's the thing. So it's kind of, to me, it's the same thing as omnicide.
100%, yeah.
And so like ecocide, there are so many people with ecocidal tendencies in the world, you know, and like people need to use the, I just felt like people needed to use the term more to confront what was going on instead of being like, this business is so bad. It's just like, no, they're doing this thing.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that we don't like.
Yeah.
You know, like name it.
Yeah.
You know, say what it is.
Confront
like,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I wanted people to be able to dig further into that, in terms of like charging legally or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also wanted to think about like charging in the sense of like getting charged up.
Mm-hmm.
And so like if you're someone who doesn't want to see that kind of thing happening, using that pain and frustration and anger to do something positive and to enact change and to, you know, use that as your fuel rather than letting it like beat you up.
Yeah, exactly. Transforming that anger into something that's really productive and
Yeah, totally. And so like obviously it's like very the track's quite heavy, but I wanted to kind of like take the heaviness that it first had and move it into like a kind of like hopeful power. Even though it's like still heavy, it's like still a very heavy thing to confront regardless.
Exactly.
And and so like I wanted there to be like I don't know, just a way to carry it, I guess. And there's a shell that I play in this track, which is a screw shell from the Manukau, from the Waitemata Harbour. And originally there were these native screw shells called Mauricolpus waitemanensis, I think is how you pronounce it. They looked very similar. They were our native one. When ships came from overseas, they brought other shells in, which eventually came and took over the local population. And now we don't have those native ones anymore in the harbour, if at all, I think. And so I wanted to play this shell and kind of represent the voice of this shell realizing that there's no more of the old one anymore and recognizing the value of that old one that it can't get to anymore. You know, and there's this like sense of loss and pining and like trying to reach back and call out for that other shell.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Waitemata is kind of like my love letter to the city.
Mm.
My whānau has been in the city for a real long time over the years. So, like, I'm from Te Arawa.
Mm.
Our waka came through Tamaki, you know, centuries and centuries and centuries ago. And, you know, like, my father's a sailor. He's sailed on the harbour my whole life.
Mm.
My parents were married at the naval base over at Devonport.
Wow.
Because my grandfather was in the Navy.
Yeah.
You know, I've spent so much time working and living around the harbour. I used to live right on the harbour,
mm.
Sort of when I used to flat in Westmere, mm. on the mangroves down there. And so the harbour has always, like, represented the sense of home, mm. and, like, the centre of my world in a lot of ways. And Waitemata as a name, people are always like, oh, it means the sparkling waters. And I was always like, oh, yeah, sparkling water is beautiful. It is. Like, you look mm. at it and it's sparkling and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, no doubt.
No doubt, yeah.
But then when I did a bit more reading into it, because I was trying to, like, learn more about my whakapapa and how we related to Tamaki, because I was always like, I feel so at home here, and I've always been like, but I should be, you know, only feeling at home in Rotorua,
right.
or Makatu, or, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I always feel so at home here. There must be a reason for that, you know, in our whakapapa, aside from us growing up here.
Mm.
And turns out that Te Arawa waka, when we came through, Tama Te Kapua, who was the captain of the waka, placed a Māori stone, which is like a stone imbued with, like, life force, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It was treated with karakia and that kind of thing, and it was placed in the harbour to protect the future generations of Te Arawa, essentially.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I was just like, wow. That is so, like, it was really grounding for
me,
you know, like, I've grown up living in lots and lots of places as, like, a kid and that kind of thing. And so for a long time, I didn't even necessarily feel like, quote unquote, a Kiwi,
mm.
you know, like, let alone feeling Māori, let alone feeling like I should be in Tamaki, you know, like, I always felt like I was floating in between sort of thing. And that kind of was like, oh, this is why I feel so at home here.
Yeah.
And so Waitemata, according to Te Arawa tradition, is the obsidian waters.
Wow.
So Mata is like volcanic obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Māori stone is made out of obsidian. Yeah. And so I went and I wanted to make like a kōwawa, like a flute, like a Māori flute.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I wonder if you can, like, blow them out of glass. Because, like, you know, volcanic stone is often turns into like a glass sort of thing, like obsidian when you look at it is like glass, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really want to make like an quote-unquote like obsidian kōwawa, and like how can I do this?
Yeah.
And then I was like looking around, I was looking at like glass kōwawa, and the only reference that I could find online was somebody talking about the glass kōwawa in relation to like a meth pipe.
Oh.
And funnily enough, it was in Makatu where they were talking about it, which is where our waka kind of like
mm-hmm.
landed.
Yeah.
Further down before we went to Rotorua. And I was just like, wow, that's crazy. And like, that's been something that's been, I guess, like, difficult in my life. I've had a lot of wider whānau friends and whatever who have had to deal with the challenges of like meth and like, you know, that kind of thing.
A
lot
of
people,
very prominent issue, I guess.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Yeah, in Aotearoa, yeah.
It's brought a lot of my life for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so again, there was that like transmuting kind of element then. I was like, okay, I definitely want to make one now, because this can't be the only representation of a glass kōwawa. Like, I want to take this and like take it away from meth and give it another life.
Yeah.
And so there's like another layer to it there. And then I found out that there was this glass blowing spot down in Rotorua who they did like a wānanga. I can't remember who it was that taught them how to do it.
Mm.
But they went and blew kōwawa and putorino and all this kind of thing. And so I went there straight away and I was just like, I need to get this. It's like just down the road from my marae and stuff as well,
wow,
which is really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was dope. And so I went there and I was like, hey, I want to get this like thing that looks like obsidian. I want to get it blown to for these reasons with Waisamataia and all that kind of thing. And they were real about it, super on board with the kaupapa and stuff. And so, yeah, that's where Waisamataia, so her name is Waisamataia. Yeah. Shouts out to Amokura Glass Studio for helping me, you know, really access that through playing, you know, and creating like an instrument that I always feel that whenever I play it now. I do want to give shouts out to all my whānau and all my friends, my homies, and to Noah Records for like really botting the kaupapa. Yeah, I couldn't have put it out with anyone else.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that Noah creates a space where we can dip into these things. And yeah, it's really important, and it's good to see it happening more and lots of different places, and all of us being able to express ourselves in ways that are true to ourselves. And there's no, you know, like boundary to what we can do now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and so, yeah, shouts out to Noah. Shouts out to everybody who's been listening and reflecting on it. Yeah, I'm glad that it resonates in ways for other people, not just for me.
That was Long Player. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.